The following show is closed captioned for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
WTAQ News Talk Sports. All right, ton of stuff to get to today, as always, but a lot of really, really good stuff. Now, the big story in Green Bay today is, well, as our newsroom here at WTAQ put it, a new twist in the story of the Green Bay police video where an officer was shown physically, I don't think I'm going to dispute that, physically arresting, getting very physical, with someone in downtown Green Bay, an after-bar hours incident that many believe was excessive police force. As I think most listeners to this show know, several years ago, I was a huge proponent of open carry because it was the law. It continues to be the law. We didn't have concealed carry at that time. We do now. But that's okay. If you want to open carry, it's still the law. If you, in the act of self-protection, or I should say interest, not act, in the interest of self-protection, want to open carry a handgun, open carry whatever, that is legal. Where I have developed serious issues is with the open carry movement, where they carry guns as a political statement. I don't carry my gun as a political statement. I don't. I carry it for self-protection. I choose to conceal carry. You know why? Because I can. Because the law now allows it. That's why. By the way, one of the benefits of dropping 50-some pounds, it's a lot easier to holster carry a gun. I'm just throwing it out there. I also don't snore at night anymore. I generally sleep a lot better when the dog doesn't wake me up. But that is one of the benefits. And I am concealed carrying now more than I ever have. Because I can do so comfortably. I can't in this building, but I mean otherwise, in places where I can, people would be amazed. Amazing how many restaurants don't have a sign up. I'm not going to say the restaurant I was in. I've been in restaurants lately where I conceal carry. I'm carrying way more than people know because I can. The dunderheads, and Jason, we're not taking calls on this now. We will, however, after 9 o'clock. The dunderheads that are carrying long rifles and multiple weapons as a political statement are killing the gun rights cause. And the latest development is the new height of idiocy. And we will get to all of that. Oh, we're going to talk about that. Stop helping us, because you're not. You look like a bunch of nuts, and you're hurting the cause. I am not going to be soft-soaping this. But I will have much more to say about that, and I will allow those who disagree to try to make a coherent case. Good luck. But I will allow for that. After 9:06, we're not taking calls on it now. Is that somebody disagreeing with me already? Oh, okay. It's the same people that think secession resolution is a good idea. You don't do things just because you can. That's perhaps the worst reason to do it. I conceal carry because I can, because I have a good reason to. Self-protection. If I couldn't conceal carry, I would open carry in some instances. All right, more on that at 9:06. Dan Bice broke, I think, what he thought was a big story yesterday, and it may be. It may be. Dan Bice broke the story that there is an out-of-state firm reserving millions of dollars of TV airtime for the final 9 weeks of this year's general election. Because of that's here in Wisconsin. It's a California firm, but they're reserving time in, I think, four TV markets. Milwaukee, La Crosse, Green Bay, and Wausau. Target Enterprises, which buys media for Republican candidates and groups, has indicated that it wants to book more than $1.9 million worth of TV time on stations in four Wisconsin media markets for an undisclosed client between September 1st and November 3rd. The election is November 4th. That is the last 2 months leading up to the election. The money for political commercials has not yet been paid, but Target has chosen the times the ads would run and on which stations. Who is Target's undisclosed client? It must be some person or group already looking this far out at spending huge dollars late in the governor's race, the only contest to draw that kind of significant out-of-state interest, the governor's race. One good guess, he wrote, would be Right Direction Wisconsin Political Action Committee, the local arm of the Republican Governors Association. So in other words, it's the RGA spending money on Scott Walker on his behalf, is what Vice is speculating. I have some original reporting on this to share with you. I can confirm, based on two sources in the Wisconsin television industry, and that's all I'm going to say, two sources in Wisconsin's television industry tell me it is Right Direction Wisconsin Political Action Committee, which is spending this money. It is the group that Bice speculated. Here's what I think. I think Bice was told that off the record, but not for publication, and that's why he speculated it. I don't know that. But I'm thinking he knew that and was not at liberty to say it definitively, so he worded it as speculation. That's what I'm guessing. It is Right Direction Wisconsin Political Action Committee, the local arm of the Republican Governors Association, which is booking that time. I'm also told some of it is during Green Bay Packers broadcasts. How much is being spent, and I can't get into any greater detail. I have heard numbers that differ from Dan Bice's numbers. And that's all I'm at liberty to say. Now, Bice paints this as a big deal. Boy, this early out, they're dumping huge money. I am told by a TV source that that's not unusual. The DCCC, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, and others often book this early. Why? Why would they do that? Because it's cheaper than a last-minute buy. This is not uncommon at all. Bice apparently was conned by liberals into thinking that it was. It's not that uncommon at all. Because then he gets quotes from One Wisconsin Now and the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Well, this is just an out-of-state group with big money trying to buy the governors. Both parties do this, and they do it very early. There is nothing unusual about it. If you think you're going to have money to spend, you book it early because it's cheaper, supply and demand. If those slots are wide open right now, you buy them right now or book them right now. The ads haven't been paid for. You book them right now. If a poll on October 1st shows Scott Walker leading by 15 points, or if four polls show that, I'm not saying that's going to be the case, I'm just throwing that out there, then they probably wouldn't buy the back half of that buy. It's really not that earth-shattering that this is happening. I will say this. Here is what is newsworthy, but I can't share it with you. I think it's possible that the $2 million number that Bice was told is low. I don't know that. But I have been told some things where I think that number is low. I do. And by the way, I'm grateful to hear this, that the RGA, through this arm, is going to spend this scratch. Again, it's in the Milwaukee, La Crosse, Green Bay, and Wausau markets. I think that's an excellent buy. I think Madison would be a waste of money. So, I mean, it's not a small story, but I don't think it's the big aha story that the left tried to portray it to be when Bice reached out to them for comment. Then there is this. And this is a story that's fallen off the radar a little bit. And I think I would attribute that, I guess, here's the way I would put it. Shame on me and others for not staying on this story. As you know, anti-mine protesters have been trying to disrupt what GTAC, Gibeit Taconite, is doing in preparation to try to open a taconite mine, iron ore mine, in far northwestern Wisconsin. They haven't gone away. In fact, it appears they have gotten far more aggressive. And this story is from Wisconsin Public Radio. This is a story that I and others in the conservative media should be following more closely. So shame on me. You know, you get that out of sight, out of mind. Well, things must be okay. You're not hearing about anything. No, that is not the case at all. In fact, the headline on the WPR news story, Wisconsin Public Radio, from yesterday, last night, GTAC president says anti-mine protesters are getting more aggressive. Bill Williams says protesters have been taking intimidating actions during meetings between locals and GTAC. The head of the company that wants to build an open-pit iron ore mine in Ashland and Iron Counties says people opposed to the mine are getting more aggressive. Gugibik Taconite President Bill Williams told a mining industry group in Duluth this week that the good news is that fewer people are taking the not-in-my-backyard or NIMBY approach to mining opposition. I know that's kind of encouraging, he said, but a lot of them have now become bananas, build absolutely nothing anytime near anyone. It's a problem we're all facing, and the mining industry has gotten a bad name for this. Williams says efforts to gain support in Iron and Ashland counties hit a snag, including several one-on-one meetings with residents. Protesters started following us to these things and setting up gauntlets and cameras to film and interview people afterwards, said Williams. It became intimidating and people didn't really want this, and so they started backing out. Rob Ganson of Bayfield County is opposed to the mine and attended a session in Ashland. People I know who attended the one-on-one who are against the mine basically went there to get information, and some of them went to get that information on video or audio tape so there would be a record of their response, said Ganson. Ganson said GTAC is the one doing the intimidating. He happened to be one of the first people to bump into the private guards hired by the company dressed in desert camouflage and carrying semi-automatic weapons last summer. Oh, he just happened to run into them. He just happened to run into them. He didn't openly try to confront them. This is why, and I'll say shame on me, this is why we in the conservative media in Wisconsin need to be more vigilant on this story. Because as this mine gets closer and closer to realization, they are going to get more and more aggressive. Speaking of more and more aggressive, Illinois is an interesting case study in contrast right now to Wisconsin in a couple of ways. One, of course, their government continues to be on the opposite course that Governor Scott Walker and Republicans have set Wisconsin's government on, the course upon which it has set Wisconsin. They continue to try to borrow and tax their way out of trouble for spending they can't afford on pensions and other things, state, you know, public employee pensions and other things. Wisconsin, of course, has gone entirely in the opposite direction and has a lot to show for it. As a result, there's a very good chance a Republican candidate will become governor in Illinois after the November elections because he is seen as their Scott Walker, the guy that's finally going to have the stones to turn it around. Well, there's another issue. Concealed carry. Wisconsin has had concealed carry for 3.5 years. Illinois, and I think the metaphor is appropriate here, had to do it at the barrel of a gun, a judicial gun. Courts said, hey, this is unconstitutional. you need to come up with a concealed carry law. They finally did. But if you listen to law enforcement and others in Illinois, they think this is going to be Armageddon. This is going to be the Wild West because law-abiding citizens will be able to carry handguns. This is going to be gunfights in the street. Oh, wait, we already have those. That's the laughable part here. Chicago is one of the most dangerous cities in the world right now, in the country, for sure. Well, the world, because outside the United States, when it comes to gun violence, in the world, and how they think legal guns are going to make it more dangerous is beyond me, but that's what happens when you believe the gun is the problem and not the shooter. Listen to this. This is from CBS2 in Chicago. It's WBBM-TV, I think. While out on an unrelated assignment, CBS2 investigative reporter Dave Savini decided to stop by a Southside Subway sandwich shop for a meal. Savini was struck by the fact that the counter of the store at 116th Street and South Halsted, he was in a Subway sandwich shop, okay? In Southside, Chicago. So he wasn't reporting on this issue. He was out there on the South Side, and he decided to get a Subway sandwich for lunch. Guess what he discovered? The counter of the store at 116th Street in South Halsted in Chicago was encased in a bulletproof glass. Bulletproof glass. Such a sight would be common at crime magnets like gas stations or currency exchanges, but a Subway? The store was clean, looked just like any other well-run Subway restaurant, except for the bulletproof protection for the employees and lack of a bathroom for customers. In fact, a few patrons asked for hand sanitizer because they couldn't wash their hands. Savini took a few photos and sent out a tweet saying the scene was a sad description of gun violence in Chicago. The restaurant is located on the border of the Roseland and West Pullman neighborhoods, which has seen its share of gang violence. However, according to Chicago Tribune analysis, crime in those areas recently has declined. Savini also posted his photos on Facebook, where one user remarked that there's a similar setup at a Subway in the Austin neighborhood. An internet search also found a few bulletproof Subways in Oakland and Detroit. So you have at least two Subway sandwich shops which are so concerned about gun violence, now, without legal concealed carry, they've put up bulletproof glass to protect their employees. And somehow you think it's going to be worse with legal guns? Speaking of legal guns, we're going to have a very frank conversation about what's planned for downtown Green Bay this weekend. We'll do that at 9:06. It's 8:56.